And but that was a wonderful experience because she learned from that how to read the signs of life and how life speaks to us. And so often, how many people go through their lives banging on doors that are locked? Because the mind says, oh, I want to do this. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Right? Murder us and light up a bitch. And the door's going, hey, nothing. You get more and more frustrated because you've decided this point. You decided on the outcome. Instead of walking the journey and flowing with, and not being attached to the outcome, you've decided on the outcome. And when you attach to an outcome, it's a big bloody door. And actually, most of it says disappointment. Because if you go to a football match and you're attached to the outcome, your team winning, then that outcome is the only one that's going to give you happiness, satisfaction, and all the rest of it. If that doesn't happen, it's a good champion. Well, then you've had a bloody bad day. If you go and sit in the stand and say, oh, I'm just going to enjoy the game, I'm not attached to the outcome, all that great ball, good shot, any good save, and all that stuff. You've had a great day, whatever the score is, but you're not attached to the outcome. And we attack ourselves, I want to be, and all this stuff. Bang, bang. And it gets more. I want to be. I know this. And people go through their whole life banging against doors that are not going to open. When if they only looked again, there's one swinging, say, over here. It's a different outcome to the one you're attached to, but it's not there. It's the one you're meant to go with. Being attached to outcomes is so limiting, and it's all a mind thing. I've got to say, if it's flow equals go, stuff equals chuck. Or at least, look at what you're doing and trying to do in a different way. Because if the door ain't open, then ain't going to open. You've got to find the key to the door by doing it a different way, or there's another door over here swinging. Why us? That's another thing. Why are we all in this reality at this time as this control system is reaching its peak? Why? You've already made the choice, now you have to understand it. You didn't come here to make the choice, you already made it. You're trying here to try to understand why you made it. That's what collectively is true too. And that's what made it, and that's what's trying to understand it. And the more that connects to that, because that opens and gets out of the way and becomes a vehicle and not the master, the more we will understand it. We're here because we chose to be here. We are here to break the spell. That's why we're here. And I don't care if you're ever from the local store, or you're Bill works in the bank, or Joe sweeps the streets. Irrelevant experience. We're all here to break the spell. No hierarchy of guru or all the rest of it. We're here to break the spell. All of us, no matter what we appear to be in the experiences we're having. We're all conscious. I don't care if you sweep the streets. Very good job, by the way. We're bloody being trouble if they didn't. Oh, you know, he sweeps the streets. Well, bloody hell. You work in a bank. Look at the shit you call. Something different. And acknowledging where we're at is what it is the first vital step to changing what it is. The first thing is to acknowledge no contradictions, no denial, we are slaves. Right? We're increasingly not being slaves, people at events like this, but humanity, you are a slave here. First acknowledgement, okay? I have accepted what is, I can now deal with it. If I don't accept that I'm a slave, I come on being one. I'm in a prison, but I refuse to see the boss. And then the next thing is choose freedom. I choose not to be a slave. And when we choose not to be a slave, everything moves. I am not in. I am my experience. I am consciousness having that experience. I am not a slave. I am know what day it was for a while and all the rest of it, and I completely reeled this. I went up the top of the hill, I think I've said it for you, but when I got the video, one day, years ago, about 1993, and I screamed and screamed until my throat gave in. Just like that, out of sheer frustration, this transformation was going on, and I was moving. But, you know, what's happening when we go through that, it seems like horrible looking sometimes, when like mine was, but we understand it. We can flow with it, because when you make a shift, your energy shifts, as I talked about, and so everything changes. And initially, it seems that my life's falling apart. I thought mine wasn't. I was laughed at in the street, I was laughed at the television all the time. I had no job, all the rest of it, no income. My life was falling apart. People I knew disappeared, and God, it was so significant, he's crazy, all that stuff. And then you realize what's happening is that's the old energy field expressed in people, places, voices, life experiences breaking down so that you can come in. So if we understand that's happening, we can be more at peace than at ease with the transformation to take place. And collectively, we're going to go through this. We're going to do this now collectively. So all this stuff is going to be thrown at us by the control system. And maybe this is the control system. Anyway, and so we go through these challenging changes so that we can become who we are and open up our heart and connect with all that is. Infinite love is the only truth, everything else is illusion. It's kind of funny. I've taken psychoactive drugs once in my life, actually 1.5. But it's taking ayahuasca's potion, rainforest in Brazil, and I went into another state of consciousness for 5 hours. This female voice, as loud as mine is now, I'm not kidding, you talked to me for 5 hours about the nature of reality. It was freaking hilarious. My God, consciousness understands the human. My legs were in the air, literally kicking up. I was so much happy. One of the things that, I mean, the first voice that said to me, this is why I got this phrase wrong, was all you really need to know is infinite love is the only truth, everything else is illusion. In other words, the existence of one infinite consciousness, one infinite awareness is the only truth, everything else is the imagination of that awareness made manifest. And one of the interesting things he said was, if it vibrates, it's illusion. Because, like I said, all possibility is silent and still. All possibility, all potential, and then when potentials comes out the vibrational field sound. So it's a profound thing to say, if it vibrates, it's illusion. Because all possibility is not. So we break out of that, and then we become this. Everything from the beginning, my birth, my ancestors, my children, my wife, everything comes together simultaneously. I saw everything about me and about everyone who was around me. I saw everything they were thinking now, what they thought then, what was happening before, what was happening now. There is no time, there is no sequence of events, no such thing as limitation of distance, of period, of time, of place. I could be anywhere, I want it to be simultaneously. I repeat, what is there to fear? What is there to fear in the control system within this tiny frequency range we call the physical world? Know thyself. Very powerful phrase. Most people don't. We know what people tell us thyself is. Don't think who you are, know you are. From the matrix. Again, know is coming from here, intuition. Know. Think you are comes from here. This is where we get false identity, this is where we get true identity. And we know who we are. Again, the difference between thinking and knowing. But how many times we say, I just know it? How do we know? I don't know, because this doesn't really work. It deals in knowing, it deals in feeling, it deals in awareness. And you can't find language options. No, I just know I've got to be there tomorrow. I just know I have. What happens? You turn up and something happens that's amazing, or something that's really beneficial, or whatever, or amazing coincidence. Well, this is the idea that I want to go there. You're going down the picture. What are you doing? And it gets in the way, again, in the way of the journey, when this is what's got to be brought into life. And by following this intuition, this knowing, the idea is not to get out of trouble. It's never get into it. That's the trick. Why do I get out of trouble? I don't get into it. There's that line in the Matrix where Neo says, "You mean I'll be able to dodge bullets?" No, Neo. When you're ready, you won't have to. Before this, we'll always be in the right place at the right time to avoid trouble, not walk straight into it. Because like I said right at the start, this consciousness through intuition sees the river from source to sea. This sees the next turn in the river. So, you know, you can be paddling down the river like I was saying earlier, and maybe you close. You know, sprint a leak or something, and this goes bloody hell, bloody, and oh my god, it's terrible. I mean, you go up the side with it, you know, the same analogy I mentioned earlier, someone comes up and says, bloody hell, you're lucky, there's a bloody waterfall behind it, around that next turn. This was manifesting signs of life to get me to avoid trouble. And my goodness, this is going to be important for the next few years. So this will guide you. People say, what should I do? I'm still trying to coach. No, don't look at me and no. What should I do? The point is to get to that point of accessing this, intuition, knowing, when you don't have to ask, what should I do? Because you know. Because I don't know what anyone else should do. I know what I should do. I feel I know through intuition what I should do. I ain't going to tell anyone else what they actually should individually do, because they know that, because they've got their journey. It's accessing it that is the point. And once we start this process, the system starts to fail. Because the system is based on mind, the whole thing is bloody mind. And as we become conscious, the system starts to malfunction, like that TV earlier. And we're going through this shift. It's kind of, people call it a shift. It's interesting, one of the, when I had this massive awakening in 1990, top of my head for a while, the first book I ever wrote about what was happening to me, not about learning, I understood most of it, I called it Truth Vibrations, because this is 1990 I wrote it, came out in early 91, and I called it Truth Vibrations, because in that big awakening when my bloody head opened and all these concepts were coming in and all that stuff, and like a computer freezing for a while. Too much information and can't process. But one of the key things was there is a vibrational change coming and it is going to transform this reality. It's going to act like a spiritual alarm clock. It's going to wake people up from their slumber. 1990, no stopping sign whatsoever. 2009, bloody blatant. And it is happening. It's changing the way we cover reality, and it's breaking into mind. Because mind is in the density that it is. This vibrational change is starting to vibrate mind from its density. And as it does that, consciousness can get in, and we start seeing things differently. It's happening. We stop seeing things individual all the time. We see things as oneness, unity. And this schism, this energetic schism, is going to be removed. Healed, if you want that kind of word for it, by this energetic change, which is getting faster and more powerful all the time. And the more people awaken and connect with it, the more they become generators of it, and the whole thing moves on exponentially. And this is what, with other things, is what's going to bring the control system down a few years from now. And we're going to go into that situation of connection. It's a matter of the way life is. And people talk about this in 2012. I have a different view of 2012. I think it's a diversion. And I think they're going to use this mercilessly like a spiritual Y2K to run to determine the millennium. And there's going to be movies about it, and all this stuff, and oh my god, what's going to happen? Well, nothing's going to happen, I would say, because this is an ongoing process. And I hope people have written this book 20 years ago, it should by the way, it's about the very thing. You'd be saying, yeah, 2012, so you told me. I'm not saying that, I said the opposite. So that is a diversion. What is happening is this energetic change is as a matter of ongoing course, is getting more and more powerful and affecting more and more people. Along here, the people are more open and less in mind. They were awakening first, and then they're more densely in mind, awakening. is always going on. Now, I've seen people who were, I thought, lost causes, he's never going to wake up, woken up, way, light's gone on, so fast. I personally see that just a few years after 2012 comes the tipping point where this whole thing changes, this whole reality changes in a way that we did not even begin to imagine. And it's funny, all this channeling and stuff, it's like anything. You can get people who have a receiver transmitter that is so now finely tuned, they can get out to levels of awareness where they can bring in information that is profound and extremely helpful to understand the situation. And you've got others that call themselves channels of psychics who are just kind of communicating with their own mind and not get anywhere like that whatsoever. But every now and then you come across a gem that proves itself in the passage of time. And in 1990 it was, just after the psychic, I met the psychic, I was introduced to this lady in West England. Again, coincidence and all the rest of it. And I knew nothing about this. I don't know, I looked forward, I'm thinking, what's happening? I was presenting the sport. And I went to this lady's house with this guy. And she said, we're trying to channel for you. And I'm thinking, what's that? Swim the channel? What are you talking about? Swim the channel? Check the channel? What are you doing? I can't understand, really, but not very widely, because I've never expressed it before. And if people don't believe in changing, they should have seen this woman. I'm sitting there, I'm new to all this. Her face changed, like, she became a man. Very strange face. Everything shifted. And then she starts speaking in this strange voice. And this is what came out. 1990, and my friend's business stood the test of time. The entity called itself Mackin, just because we have to have names. It's consciousness communicating into this reality through the vehicle. And it says this, I feel you are sensing now the energies coming in, the energies surrounding your planet. This is causing many of you to ask questions. It is causing many of you to reevaluate completely your way of life, where you feel you wish to go or what you want to do. It is causing tremendous upheavals. Some of these upheavals are very confusing, very distressing, very disturbing. Some people in partnerships are finding they can no longer continue in those partnerships because their partners now tune into what they are tuning into. It is causing a great deal of disturbance. And I've said to this sensitive on more than one occasion, you must organize yourselves in groups to support each other. Now, my own allegiance with your planet goes back to the Atlantean period when there were many energies being used and information and knowledge being used which were for particular reasons of safety withdrawn, shall we say, to prevent complete catastrophe, to prevent total destruction of your planet. All these years later, this is what the schism was. All related to that. Didn't know that at the time. Wasn't there a clue? One could say that these were sort of emergency measures, if you like, to prevent the inhabitants of this planet from untimely destruction. Now at that time, shall we say, this knowledge was distributed only to the few. It was taught in what we call a temple setting, though I'm being careful about using this word, it has connotations maybe. So let me use that word in the broadest possible sense. There were those initiated into this knowledge, there were greatest initiation, and most of the past the full initiation, even known as the guardians of the light, the keepers of the secret knowledge. This is the context from which I'm coming. There came a time when this knowledge of the ancients were withdrawn. It's very difficult for me to explain to you precisely what I mean by that, so I will let you mull these things over. As the energies around your planet quicken, so these latest energies, these energies which have been withdrawn, will now be phased back in. They will gradually be awakened. And this is 1990. It's increasingly less gradual as we move along. As the consciousness level of your planet raises itself, so those of you who are working together to raise your consciousness, you will be able to hold more and more in line vibrations, and so we'll be able to use you as a catalyst to feed more and more energies in. And therefore become broadcasters of this vibration. As more of you raise yourself to meet the challenge, so we can awaken more of these energies. Now, energy is consciousness. And the energies themselves contain the knowledge and the information which is beginning to surface again in your consciousness. So many of you will remember the Atlantean times. You will remember that you communicated with, say, dolphins and whales. You understood these other sentient creatures. You could levitate, you could manifest things, you could cause spontaneous combustion by non miraculous means at all. Once you know what you're doing, these things follow. It's a matter of order. Now, I'm looking at time in your time when this knowledge will be for the few, but when your whole planet will be awakened to this understanding, which you have simply forgotten. It is not a matter of new information, it is a matter of remembering who you are and where you come from. So you are being asked to change. You are being asked to change in a total way. It's not a matter of small change, of a little thing here, a little thing there. You are really being asked to turn yourself inside out. There is a massive shadow that must be cleared, and it is up to you, people such as yourselves, to focus yourselves on that challenge. Those of you who are in the forefront of this, you are rather like a snowplow. You are the thin end of the wedge. You really have, how shall I put this, to a certain extent, I suppose, you have the shitty end of the job. This is the energy being translated into the words of the cycle. You use words like that to channel up. You have got to do an awful lot, but nevertheless, you are capable of doing an awful lot. That is why you have chosen to come. You made the choice, now you have to understand it. That is why you are here, to really shovel some shit, and therefore make some space behind you to make it easy for the others. Easier for the others. As in your human body, there are energies around your planet, through your planet, which correspond, I suppose, very much to the acupuncture lines and meridians in your body. When two lines cross, you create a vortex, a tiny vortex if it's two. The more lines that intersect, the bigger the vortex. Therefore, when you have a chakra, you have a large vortex of intersecting energy. It's the same in your planet. Where the most lines cross, there is the biggest vortex. Now, you could say the plexus in and around the island you call the British Isles is the hub of the wheel of plexuses and energies which surround your planet. It has acted, in other times, like a failed safety device. In order to activate these shackled points upon your planet, the energies must all pass through the central point. They must pass through the heart of the pattern. It is absolutely no accident whatsoever why the operational center of the control system is in Britain. Because they want to control the grid, they want to control the energy state of the grid, and therefore control the energy that we are experiencing. And how do you control the fish? How do you change all the fish? You change the sea. You control the sea. And this is what they're trying to do energetically. And that's why there are more stone circles, standing stones, ancient earthworks and stuff, a square mile in England and the west coast particularly, and an island and anywhere else in the world, a square mile, because this is the heart of the pattern. And as this energy changes, and moves on, we're being challenged to go with it, and that means getting out of mind, because mind ain't going to go with this. The mind has to get out of the way to allow us in. Not disappear, but get out of the way. And we can go down on the canoe and enjoy the flow and enjoy the ride. This is going to be a very exciting time, an amazing time. You know, it's not going to be boring, that's for sure. Are not in sync with it, they're going to get washed away. And there's going to come a point where this control system is going down because the energetic vibrational construct on which it's based is going to be dismantled by this energetic change and this transformation of human consciousness. And that's why I say I'm going to see it in 2012. Just a few years, not many after that, this is when I see from my research and stuff that I come across where it's going to come down. And the control system symbolized here, the Illuminati control system, is going to be vibrationally dismantled, the time loop is going to be dismantled, and we've got to go back to that true state where we're going to experience reality here in a way that we could not comprehend now. And certainly won't comprehend in the next little while as the control system moves on. It's a new dawn. It's a time to choose. Are we going to go with the heart, open it, flow, put away attachment to outcomes? Because what the bloody hell is the outcome? I'm just flowing, man. And all the rest of it. Instead of saying, no, all want this. And eventually, using more and more energy to try and stand still as this energetic change goes on, and eventually you just get washed away with it. Mind's going to get out of the way. It's about redefining yourself. This is so important in this period. From I am my experience to I am consciousness having the experience. That's going to be so important. Because all these challenges that are coming, as they throw the bloody kitchen sink at us, they will be much more easy to deal with, to respond to, when we come from this point and we're not identifying with the experience of who we are. Because if people are caught in mind, identifying with the mind, and identify with who they are with their experience, this is going to be a bloody challenging few years as we come against this economic, police state, medical bloody bombardment they're going to try and bring along. But again, we came in to experience this. Why? To break the spell. And part of breaking the spell and breaking attachment to things and outcomes and all the rest of it. And I just love this line from that song. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And it's funny, but when you've got nothing left to lose, all that's left is freedom. When we're attached to things and all the rest of it, we're attached to outcomes, then we can't be free because we're attached to it. Oh, but I'm going to hold on to it. No, I can't be that. I can't be free. I'm holding on to these attachments. When we start to go, we lose it. What is there left? What's the programming gone? What's left? Freedom. Consciousness. And collectively, we're going down that road. Oh no, no, I can't, or oh, I'll be fine. This is a proverb. Just when the caterpillar thought life was over, it became a butterfly. And we're going through that now. We're missing challenges and all the rest of it. It's the collective version of that process we go through when we are changing ourselves, our self-perception, and that shift takes place, the energy changes, and well, suddenly everything in our life dramatically changes because we've got that energy's gone. Collectively, that's what we're going through now. As that collective perception changes, things are going to change in the outside world. There's going to be a time when things break down to let the new in. But if we understand that they're breaking down to let the new in, then we can deal with it. Because it's not, oh my God, what's happening? It's saying, yeah. Get it out of the way so this can come in. Waking up, what do we do? Stop making excuses. God, we can make so many excuses. Even those people are aware. Oh, no, God, you're in prison. You came. I'm all over the in the month. There is nothing more important than absolutely looking at this now and going with this. Because everything comes from it. Our children, our families, everything, ourselves. The reality, it all comes from us dealing with this situation now and changing ourselves and therefore get rid of the worshipping of heroes, of celebrities, of diversions, of politicians, of gurus. James, you've erased it off your knees. What are we doing down there? We are all here. So many reasons to get on our knees. Oh my God, what are you doing? Get off. A man can't ride your back if it isn't bent. Oh, is that true? And then there's other things. This is important too. You know, this control system is administered and enforced by people who don't even understand who their masters are. I call them the dark suits and the uniforms. And it's the dark suits that administer the system, not knowing what's really behind it, and the fact that their children and their families are going to be subject to it, and the uniforms are doing the same. People in uniforms, that's not good people in uniforms, so many. They, especially the ones they're employing now, because it's big change in the people they're employing, they strut around as if they've got power. I say to them sometimes, you've got no power, you know. You've got no power. You've got a uniform's got the power, mate. Take your uniform off, where's your power? Get another job, where's your power? The power's in the uniform. Your power's in the wardrobe, mate, not you. You're just animating the uniform, which is an expression of the control system. And the point is, what the hell are they doing? What the hell are you doing, dark suits and uniforms? You are bringing in and enforcing and administering a system that your families, your kids, your grandkids are going to be subjected to. And one day, you're going to have to look them in the eye and you're going to have to explain to them why do you see revolutions be replaced by something as bad or worse? Because the same level of consciousness that was behind the revolution was behind that and said removed and said one replaces the other. What do you fight can become? We don't have to fight these people. We fight these people, we become them. If we hate these people, we become them. So what the hell are we doing? We just have to not cooperate with it. Look, a meeting of minds. That's what that is. A meeting of minds. Spot the difference. Come on, what's on a horse? That's the only thing I can see. Freedom fighters. Contradiction in terms. Competition dissonance. I'm going to fight for freedom. I'm going to fight for peace. Oh, really? We know we lost fights for violence. Hey, well done. The limitation on riots, moral questions aside, if they cannot win and their participants know it, hence fighting is not revolutionary but reactionary because it invites them to speak. It involves an emotional catharsis, but it must be followed by a sense of utility. When you change when you hate what you're trying to change, you become what you're trying to change. And there are those who haven't got that awareness yet because they're still in mind and they think you fight violence through violence, you get twice the bloody violence. Well done, round of applause, darling, for that. And then there's this thing about protesting. You know, that I do kind of understand that and then fine. But if you just think about this. We had a million people on the streets of London protesting about the invasion of Iraq before it happened. What then happened? They invaded Iraq. Look at these protests. Over and over again around the world against something. What happens? What they're against happens anyway. Because the control system couldn't give a shite about protests as long as it doesn't get in the way of what they're doing, and it really does. What is going to bring this system down in a practical expression of way is by us coming together and ceasing to cooperate with it. Ceasing to cooperate with our own enslavement. Realizing that the fault lines of dividing all of religion and race and income, ranking and all the rest of it are just that, manufactured fault lines. This is not a conspiracy to enslave Jewish people, or Islamic people, or Mexican people, or middle-class Americans, or British, or South Africans, or whatever. This is a conspiracy to control the human race in all its glorious expressions and diversity. And if we are to go to this apart, let the fault lines divide us, then we're going to be divided and ruled in a way that before it comes down, we're going to go into a very extreme situation. If we realize that we are all one and we're all in this together, and my freedom depends on what I think depends on your freedom, and what you think depends on my freedom, and all the rest of it, then we start to get some kind of unity and coming together behind what affects us all, and all our children, and all our families, which is securing freedom. Which means injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So instead of it's not my problem, it is my problem. If that's injustice there, that's my problem. If that's injustice there, that's my problem. It's like that that pastor, Nenemol, was it, on the Second World War, said about Nazi Germany. First they came for the Jews, and I was not a Jew, so I did nothing. Then they came for the communists, and I was not a communist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I was not a trade unionist, so I did nothing. Then they came for me, and there was no one else to speak out for me. And that's what they're doing now, before I arrived, picking off different parts of society, so I'm in different people, and people going, well, yeah, I'm going to learn from my problem, I didn't like them anyway. Injustice is injustice. I don't care if I don't agree with the words you say, I'll stand and stand and stand with your right to say it. Because if you... if anyone is not free to express their view, then I'm not free to express mine. Why? Because by anyone being denied the right to freedom of expression, it means that I don't have freedom of expression. I only have freedom within the bounds of that I'm allowed to have expression, because often there are bounds, but he's not allowed to have freedom of expression. So someone is stopped from freely expressing themselves, their view, even if you don't agree with it. Oh my God, what a tragedy, call the police. We don't have freedom of expression. Other people's injustice is our injustice. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And some more and more people are beginning to see that silence is consent. Silence is acquiescing by saying, I'm explain how much physical strength, physical courage that people have, and how little, what you might call moral courage they have. You get soldiers who will do extraordinary feats of physical courage, and yet they're frightened to say, no, I'm not doing that. Isn't it funny? Difference in courage. Yes, I'll go into this, I'll put my life at risk, I'll do all these things. Fantastic courage. And yet, I will not say no to doing this, and say no to my commanding officer. It's a funny thing. Cognitive distance. Turkish proverb. A lion sleeps in the heart of every brave man. Every man, every woman. Because it's consciousness. Consciousness is what it needs to be. Right, what's there to fear? Fearing the bloody uniforms and all that stuff? Oh, please. The idea is not to confront them, however, is to follow intuition to overcome the system which they represent. It seems so powerful. It seems so omnipotent. Yet it is terrifying of humans waking up. Not least because humans have the numbers. Like I said earlier, they may control the military, the media, the bloody police. But we have the numbers, and they can't control the numbers unless they divide the rulers or called fear stop us putting our head above the parapet and see what we can do. We have to have compliance. They have to have compliance, so the system can't work. It can't impose itself. And we're all here together. You know, I had a friend, he was a very friendly speaking with, called Larry Grayson. And he died a few years ago, and he was really big in the 70s and then he's, you know, not so big on musical research in the 60s and 90s. And I went to his memorial service, and his story was told, and I just started to get into this at the time, and I thought my father said that. This other comedian told the story at the memorial service of what Larry Grayson told him. And he said that years and years ago, they'd been going around Britain in this all-male show, and there was one woman, and that was Larry dressed up as a woman, that's what he did sometimes. And he said at the end of the show, all the men came on the stage dressed as sailors, and the band struck up Rule Britannia. Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves, and all that shite. Anyway, what happened is, the sailors, as the music built up, climbed on each other's shoulders, and they formed a pyramid on the stage. And then Larry Grayson came on, dressed as Britannia, with the sword and the helmet and the gown. And he was kind of manhandled up the pyramid to the top of the big finish. Right? Larry Grayson now represents the peak of the pyramid, the eye, the control system core. And he said that as it all built up, he got to the top of the pyramid, he said, I noticed that the sailor in the bottom left-hand corner had got rather a cough. He said, and this cough got worse, and eventually he couldn't hold his position anymore. He's not there, he's here. And what happened? The pyramid collapsed. And Larry Grayson, symbolic of the control system core, ended up in the second row in someone's lap. I heard this, and it was funny, and I was laughing, and I thought, my God, that is so profound. Like I said earlier, they're up there because we're only up there. They have to keep control of us in terms of our self-perception, so we still keep holding there. Once we, in enough numbers, walk away, we hear a load of loud bangs, and it's over. So how's the cards are putting in? Oh, we're holding the bloody cards together. And we're holding the cards. You have all these foreclosures. There'll be a lot more coming. And I was reading last night. There's enormous amount of foreclosures in California and starting here and all that stuff. And people are up here leaving. They're leaving. They're up here. Stop me. Hold on a second. Let me just follow this round just a little bit. You can't pay your mortgage because you've lost your job, right?
Yeah.
You lost your job because these greedy manipulating banks crashed the system, right?
Yeah.
Now these greedy manipulating banks that But it has to be done in numbers or they just kick us off. No, no, no to having someone tell me or any of us what does and does not go in my body. No, bloody way. And if we do this in numbers, the system can't cope. You know, they are actually fining people £200 or so in Britain for putting their wheelie trash bin out on the wrong day. People are going, oh, it's terrible. Bloody big brother. What's so silly tonight, Lee? What are you doing? Everyone in that community, all the trash cans out on the wrong day, week after week after week. Put that out. We have the numbers, but it has to be done in unity. It has to be done together.
Enjoy the day. Thank you very much.